Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ben Woods, a final hour here on a Monday on 97.3 The Fan, and we will be joined coming up at the bottom of the hour by Greg Vaughn, Padres great, slugging home run hitter. The Padres really haven't had the group of home run hitters they've collected since, like, the Vaughn Caminiti days.
Yeah.
And really, they've never had it. I mean,
they do now. They're getting there.
I think this is the first time ever they've had 325 home run hitters in a season, and they've done it with, you know, 2.5 months left in the year, and Tatis certainly looks like he could get there to 25 before the end of the season.
Hey,
so
when that kid puts on about 10 pounds, when he really grows, he's a kid, he's 20 years old, when he grows into his body, dude,
he's going to look like A-Rod or
Manny, ridiculous.
He's tall. I didn't know he's like taller than I am.
Guys, in 468-foot home runs right now as a wiry 20-year-old. Look, what's he going to look like after 10 pounds of muscle, Benny? Oh, my God.
We've gone through some of the fault lines that seem to be dividing Padres fans, especially on social media. We didn't get to the outfield, which is a tough one because I don't know that anyone really is cheering against Hunter Renfroe or Franmil Reyes, but everyone kind of has their has their favorites. And I mean, how can you possibly say goodbye to Franmil?
Right.
How can you say goodbye to Franmil?
Dude, I know
the video of him after the game yesterday.
Of course, I saw the video
the
of him. Of course, I did. You can't get rid of him.
You can't.
You can't.
But you can't keep everyone,
and you can't get rid of Hunter.
No,
he's playing so
leads the team in home runs. Playing great defense.
Yep. You can't get rid of Margot. He's coming in.
Dude, he's hot right now.
Barreling balls. Like, he looks so good. You got Will Myers out there clogging it up.
He's not really dividing Padres Twitter anymore. He's one of the unifying factors, unfortunately.
All right, let's do the unifying factors of Padres Twitter.
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yes. Positive. Ding.
All of a sudden, Will Myers is a unifying factor.
Negative.
Yeah, negative. Defending Manny Machado against the forces of
anyone that lives outside of San Diego, yeah.
Yes, has become a bit of a unifying factor. You saw.
Correct.
It happened again this weekend.
It's unbelievable.
Some writer named Bernie from somewhere.
Yeah, from Phoenix.
Phoenix!
Of course.
Of course it's Phoenix.
Of course it's Phoenix.
He was calling out, I don't have the tweet in front of me. Woodsy's better at calling those up. But he was calling out Manny for the play. I believe it was on Saturday. Was that game? Was that weird game where the
good morning, it's not in storage live from Phoenix.
It was a weird game. What started was like almost 100, and the ball was flying everywhere. And all of a sudden, the clouds came in, the weather changed, it dropped 20 degrees. Manny hit one that Andy Green said, "Oh, that would have been 15 rows deep 20 minutes ago," but died at the warning track in Chris Bryant's glove. A bummer. Padres could have used that at the time. But Manny wasn't exactly, you know, screeching around the bases.
Yeah, guess what? He hit a ball he thought was a homer. He stopped to admire it like, I don't know, every other player does. And this guy gives it that oh, man, Padre fans deserve better. And all the Padre fans are like, we're good. We're good.
The tweet was, today, Manny Machado hit a deep drive, stood at home plate, and watched the ball fall into Chris Bryant's glove at the basket at Wrigley. If it lands on the field, he gets a single. Imagine if this guy had passion for the game and hustled. Padres fans deserve to see some passion.
So that's the problem.
The question is, Manny Machado, bench him, DFA him, or shoot him?
Yeah,
like, which
seriously.
One are we going to do?
Well, that's what they want. They want him banned, and yeah, man, it's that thing, it's that pile on. People haven't done their homework. They're still hearkening back to the I'm not Johnny Hustle bit when they don't know the full story. And a lot of Padre fans said, hey, buddy, don't speak for us. We're good. We're fine with his passion. We're fine with his hustle. We're good with Manny Machado. It's that stupid national narrative that gets played out. So a lot of Padre fans, you know, dropped a couple F-bombs. and he got very sensitive about people dropping
F-bombs. He was very quick to play the victim card
Fully played the victim card, which, by the way, you guys ever see Javi Baez hit a ball and stand there and watch it? I have. You ever see Chris Bryant do it?
Yeah,
I have.
I think the best response I saw, and I think a couple of people tweeted this at him, that's fair criticism. He didn't run. Just make sure that you tweet that after every single major league player does that. Every
yes,
time you see
correct.
It, as long as we see that same tweet, hey, Cubs fans deserve better than Javi Baez. He thought he had a home run and didn't hustle out of the box. Hey, you know, Brewers fans deserve better from Christian Yelich. He wasn't running out of the box. He thought he got all of that one. If you do that every single time, every time you see it, fine. I will applaud your consistency, and you just think guys should be hustling for what they are making. And that's a legitimate opinion. The problem is that writers, broadcasters, fans, they're only singling out Manny Machado.
He's
as if he's the only one who does it.
Literally the only one. He's the only one that it's happening to. That's it. And it happens every single day. This guy also, Paul, did you see the tweet he sent earlier in the year? Man, I loved watching Josh Hader pitch. I could watch that guy pitch all day long.
Yeah.
Of course
yeah.
you do.
Ugh.
It's shocking. It's like, it's such, okay, so that's a unifier, right? Our defense of our beloved
yes.
Manny Machado. Hedges and Mejia.
Divider.
Huge chasm. Andy Green, huge chasm. Ian Kinsler, kind of leaning now towards the...
Unifier,
DFA him.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, again, he survived he survived a red tag this weekend.
Now, at this point, they've got him in the role that they originally said they signed him for. You know, utility guy,
sure.
off the bench, pinch hitter, veteran pinch hitter who's seen a bunch of these guys around the league for years. Can be a veteran in the locker room that isn't playing on an everyday basis. That's what Ian Kinsler was supposed to be. So maybe I want to see what Ian Kinsler can offer in that role. I didn't like him in the role of everyday second baseman.
Correct.
But maybe as pinch hitter and playing once every 2 weeks, I could get behind that role.
You know what's interesting about Ian Kinsler? We haven't even really talked about it. And this is me actually giving a little bit of credit. Because I feel like I've grown as a baseball fan. I feel like I'm a lot less old school than I used to be. I feel like I'm still old school in some respects, but I feel like I've grown a little bit. I have, and I've really enjoyed maybe watching guys with a little more flair than I used to. Ian Kinsler was the guy in the World Baseball Classic that had, you know, some negative things to say about Latino players and the way they played the game. Every time I see a video, dude's all in. Like, he's having, like... I think even he's like, all right, maybe I was a jackass. Being around these guys
is at the very least
infectious.
I mean, when in Rome.
Well, yeah, he's faking it. Like, but hey, like, I kind of give him a little bit of credit for being like, all right, maybe I was kind of a tool 5 years ago or whatever, 4 years ago. He's at least like having fun with it.
Chris Paddock, pretty good unifier of the Padres fan base. Everyone high on Chris and rooting for him to succeed.
Eric Hosmer is a big divider.
Divider. You know, there's the group. And I think when I said this earlier, I not to give myself too much credit, but I do feel like I hit the nail on the head. In a lot of these cases, especially with Hosmer, you had a group of people who were critical of the signing to begin with.
Yeah.
That Hosmer is going to be overpaid for what he's going to produce on the field. It's at a position that it's going to block Naylor or Myers or someone else. You already have someone who's making less money that you could put there.
Yeah.
Why are you getting a guy just for his clubhouse, you know, ability to, you know, be good in a clubhouse? It's people want to be right. So when they see Hosmer struggling, it's their chance to say, I told you that this was a bad signing a year and a half ago. Did you listen to me? No. So sometimes people cheer for being right more than they cheer for their team to do well.
Yes,
I
absolutely.
Cheer for myself to be right sometimes.
You do. You're a big fan of it. I want the Padres to win more ball games than they lose. That's my goal. But here's the deal. I'm one of those Eric Hosmer guys. I like the guy. I do. Always have. Always will. Yeah, you can give me his WXOBA, and you can give me his DRS. Fine. Okay. I see what you're saying. I do. But I like the dude. I like having him on the Padres. Sue me. I like the dude. I like Austin Hedges. I like Austin Hedges as a backup catcher right now. I do. It's a role better suited for him. But the guy, when he came in and he got his opportunity last week, he made the most of it. I'm not a Will Myers guy. I'm really not. Really never have been. So, I mean, everybody's got their people. But I don't root for Will Myers to fail. I want him to do well so we can win games.
Last big one that's a divider right now is Kirby Yates. Not how good he is, but what the Padres should do with him. Whether it's keep him or maximize his value and trade him right now. That seems to be a big divider
among
Padres social media.
I change my mind every day on it. I really do. I change my mind every single day on it. Because next year, if we're making a run, do I want a guy like Kirby Yates at the back end of my bullpen? You're damn right I do. I'd be an idiot not to. But am I also concerned that he's 32 having the best year of his life? And when you can get max value for a closer, which you really had no problem ever finding in the past, of course, it'd be the one friggin' year we didn't when we're making some run. We get some back into the bullpen that's like Kenley Jansen. Yeah, I mean, I go back and forth. It depends on what you can get for him. That's where I sit.
All right, we'll probably continue this discussion. If you haven't, we took a lot of calls earlier. If you want to offer your opinions,
please do,
tweet
man.
Us
at, it's a conversation.
Yeah, tweet us at Ben and Woods. I'm at Ben Higgins SD. He's at the Stephen Woods. We can certainly continue this throughout the day on social media. When we come back, though, I want to get to a couple of other stories. Went to the races over the weekend. Give you a little impression of opening weekend at Del Mar. And got to hear a little bit from Brandy, because she is a fine girl, and that was a fine moment.
It's awesome.
This weekend in Cooperstown, New York. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Got out to Del Mar on Saturday. Just beautiful day. I mean, just gorgeous.
Saturday was perfect,
man. It was so nice
out there.
Good God. I will say this, though. Ben Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. We've got Greg Vaughn, former Padre slugger, joining us in 15 minutes. It was kind of quiet for a Saturday on opening weekend. They had the big reggae fest afterwards.
Did you stay?
No, I did not. Oh. No Bob Ziggy Marley for me. It was a little quiet, and I just wondered, is there a backlash to the whole... What happened in Santa Anita earlier this year? Obviously, they had that training accident last week at Del Mar where a couple of horses were killed when they ran into each other. They did have a very safe week on the track. Not one horse injured or broken down during any of the racing the last few days, which is great. Track looked beautiful, as always. It's a fun place to be. But it just felt a little quieter and muted, and I wonder if there is kind of going to be a lingering effect, because there is that group of people out there, Woods, and I can't argue with them. If you just think that horse racing feels wrong to you, it feels like, you know, it's not good to the animals. You're asking them to extend themselves too much, and some of them get hurt and then have to be euthanized, and you just can't take it. I can't sit here and tell you are wrong to have that opinion. I personally grew up watching horse racing. I know how much, you know, owners and trainers and jockeys just care for those animals, and that they seem to really, I mean, I think horses, if I had to come back as an animal, sign me up to be a thoroughbred horse. Pampered lifestyle, get to compete, race out there against horses. Yeah, there's a danger, but we as people accept dangers every day. I mean, we accept a danger every time we get out on a car and go out on the roadway. You know, professional football players certainly know that they have a danger of serious injury, concussions, damage.
It's humans.
And they still choose to do it. We can't ask the horses.
First of all, you're a racehorse right now, Ben Higgins, all right? Don't sell yourself short.
Okay.
You are an absolute racehorse as we sit here today. But look, first of all, this is a whole nother topic, but if I come back, I'm coming back as a dog. All right, period, the end. Sit on my ass, get walked, fed.
I feel like I get bored with that after a little while.
Not me. People throwing balls at you, you get to go play fed. I'm in, the whole thing. I mean, you got to be with the right owner.
Yeah.
You know, but...
I don't want to be a dog fending for myself. Horses are both pampered. I mean, they're coming with the apples, and they're... You got your feed, you got your luxury travel and your own trailer... you know, plane flights for the really big ones to go see the world. And then you get to compete against the other top horses on well-manicured dirt or grass tracks in front of cheering people. Seems like it would be a pretty cool life as an animal, but that's my opinion. And your opinion could be completely different. And again, like I said, you're not wrong. I just, my point was, it felt a little muted at
Betty,
Del Mar.
You don't if it's something that you like, you don't have to defend it. You know, if it's something that you like and enjoy and something you've been doing and part of the tradition of your life, you don't have to defend it. It's not illegal. It's not like you're like, man, heroin is, you guys don't really understand how great heroin is. I'm telling you, when I take a shot of heroin, I feel phenomenal. And I don't know what the big deal is. Yeah, it's addictive, but if you get really good stuff, you feel real good. It's, you know, it's not.
Blame it on the Henry.
Yeah, blame it on the Henry. You're not doing anything wrong, per se. Some people have, you know, some people won't go to SeaWorld. Some people don't eat chickens. Some people don't eat steak. I can't get my head around it, but that's whatever floats their boat. You know, it's not illegal. What you're doing is not illegal. You don't got to defend it. If you go to the races and be like, I'm at the races. Why am I at the races? Because the races make Ben happy. And when Ben is happy, everybody's happy.
I had a good time out on Saturday. Enjoy sitting out there and 10 races. Didn't do all that well at the windows, but that happens from time to time. Still had a good time.
It's better than heroin, Ben.
Better. Right? Now, yeah, I wouldn't
the races.
Know. I wouldn't know.
Better than heroin.
Is that their new slogan?
That should be their new slogan. Good.
Where the turf sales meets the serve, right, better than heroin.
Yeah, exactly.
So
Ben and Woods, not the worst thing you've ever listened to.
That's a good one, too. It's Ben and Woods, not the worst thing you've ever heard.
Committed to mediocrity.
So yesterday, they inducted 6 new members into the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. Couple of closers go in the year after Trevor. Obviously, Mariano Rivera. Lee Smith, who had been one of those borderline guys for many years, got in as well. I always felt like, as a fan, Lee Smith was like the scariest closer to go
he
up against.
Dirty,
in
man.
That era, in the, you know, the 80s and early 90s when he played. It was like, oh, man, this game is, we got no chance.
We
Lee
always
Smith's coming in.
Well, because we all probably listening grew up watching WGN on a summer afternoon. There's nothing else on and you're tired of watching The Price is Right. The Cubbies were on and Harry Carey and Lee Smith and Leon Bull Durham and Ryne Sandberg. And that's what we all grew up with. Lee Smith was filthy. I mean, like, I remember being a kid back then and being like, oh my God. He was bigger than everybody else. He was stronger than everybody else. He threw harder than everybody else. He was mean. Like, it was, he was the real deal. He should have been in a long time ago.
But I think the scene stealer yesterday, and I'm fine with it. Roy Halladay was inducted into the Hall of Fame posthumously. He died in a 2017 plane crash, but the picture was represented by his widow,
oh, amazing,
Brandy, who... Just, I mean, this doesn't get you, then I don't know what will. Here's a little bit of her speech in honor of her husband in Cooperstown yesterday.
I think that Roy would want everyone to know that people are not perfect. We are all imperfect and flawed in one way or another. We all struggle. But with hard work, humility, and dedication, imperfect people can still have perfect moments. Roy was blessed in his life and in his career to have some perfect moments, but I believe that they were only possible because of the man he strived to be, the teammate that he was, and the people he was so blessed to be on the field with. I'm so humbled to say congratulations to this year's Hall of Fame inductees, to say thank you to all of you on Roy's behalf. Thank you so much for all of your support. Your continued dedication to the game of baseball, it means more to all of us than I think anyone could possibly know. Thank you.
Talk about a guy, too, Benny, that was worth your money to go see pitch, was Roy Halladay. Unbelievable.
No-hitter in the playoffs.
Unbelievable.
Can you imagine, though, how difficult that would be?
No,
as
I can't.
For Brandy. You know, I mean, it's still raw. I mean, you're only a little over a year and a half after your husband passed, and you're up there with legends. Mariano Rivera is to your left.
Harold
Edgar
Baines.
Martinez.
Oh, wait.
Is to your right. Who are you again?
She's like, oh, Harold's
nice
here. I can
you.
Do
Did
this.
You played baseball, Harold?
I can do this. If Harold Baines is up here, I can do this.
And to be up there, I thought that was pretty awesome. Definitely the moment of the day in Cooperstown yesterday.
You see, they kept showing his children, and that's what gets me. You know, the kid's about to lose it, and whew, mama, it was great. It was beautiful, and I love those speeches, dude. I really do. I love Trevor's. I loved Moe's yesterday. It was great. It's great.
And the Moose.
The Moose was such a good,
You like the Moose or do you not like the Moose?
Oh, God, I love Moose.
Because the Moose, you know, he pitched against the Yankees a ton in his career when he was with the Orioles.
Yeah.
But then, of course, pitched for them.
He was great. Gamer, competitor, the whole bit. Like, give me five guys in my rotation like Mike Mussina. I mean, obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. Guy was awesome. Can't believe he never won a World Series. Still blows
really?
My mind.
He never got one,
never
huh?
got one.
It's tougher than it looks. It's not just the Padres. There are teams, there are good players out there who just were never in the right place at the right time, and yep. it never happened for
hey,
them.
Yeah, I guess you feel if you're him, you're like, all right, I'm going to the Yankees. I'm going to get one. Never got
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's why I just kind of assumed he must have got one at
no,
some point.
No,
it was right
no,
in
no.
that window when the Yankees didn't get one.
Correct. When it was like 9 years between them, and he
yeah.
was like dominating that whole time in between. And,
interesting.
And never got one.
Interesting. Yeah, it's when it finally happens here in San Diego, we'll all appreciate it, but I think we'll appreciate it more for knowing how long it's taken and how hard it's been.
But only if Mejia is behind the dish.
Right. But only, when they, no, but only if Andy Green isn't the manager.
And Eric Hosmer doesn't play.
Right.
And
Urias gets everyday playing time.
Right.
You know, they're not taking him out of the lineup free.
Now, listen, we've had this conversation all morning about the divisiveness of you know, what people are feeling about this team. And look, I'm not some simpleton that's like, you root for your team no matter what. Because you don't. It's not practical. It doesn't work that way. Like, you don't just always blindly root for your team. Because it's important that we as fans, we as radio hosts, whatever, we question things that don't make sense, right? When, you know, there are guys that probably shouldn't be on a major league roster that still are. Brian Mitchell last year was one. We banged our heads against the wall. We're like, there's no business being in the big leagues. None. He provides nothing. But I just think it gets to a point sometimes where it's like, man, are you happy we won? Or are you mad that, you know, Ian Kinsler had the walk-off hit? Like, I'm happy we won the game at the end of the day. I don't care who gets it done. Just somebody get it done. Go win the ball game.
Coming up after our bottom of the hour, we've got Greg Vaughn, slugger for former Padres slugger. And I'm going to ask Greg, if he's got a pick, power hitter guy, who's he going with? Hunter Renfroe or Framil Reyes?
Good.
Who's the power guy that he would be riding with if he had to make that choice? We'll chat with the slugger, Greg Vaughn. That is coming up next with Ben Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. I got called bougie on Twitter.
You are bougie. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, of course I'm bougie.
You hate McDonald's, but you only want to go to places with tablecloths. Just now, I
like
said...
Like horse racing?
Yeah, and Susan here asked you, oh, did you get hit on by any drunk women at the track on Saturday? And you said, well, no, because I was in the turf club.
Is it wrong to expect your butler to be there every morning with your coffee and croissant? I mean, come on.
By the way, it can still happen
in the
turf club. Is that
now bougie?
There's plenty of drunk women in the turf club.
I wouldn't know because I'm down with the people. As
unbelievable. Because
you're envy, you're not bougie.
No, I'm not bougie.
We will talk with someone who I would say is very not bougie, and that would be slugger Greg Vaughn.
Ben, do you
down
eat,
to earth.
Do you eat Kraft macaroni and cheese?
I do not.
See,
no.
I do. I do.
I'm bougie.
Yeah.
You're not bougie.
Yeah.
No, you're just grown up.
Yeah.
What's wrong
I,
with you? You're so
it's
you're...
delicious. That's why I eat it. It is delicious.
Bonnie going to join us coming up next. First, let's get a check of 97.3 The Fan traffic
Uh-oh.
One more time with Sue Vincent.
Brought to you by Land Rover. Some leftover bumper to bumper in a few spots. Worst of it, definitely North 805, south of the 163 into University City, through Kearney Mesa, west on the 52, the 56 stacked up through Carmel Valley, heading towards that coastline, and 5 is tied up northbound, SeaWorld up to La Jolla. If you're heading south, it's between Poinsettia and Manchester. The new Range Rover Evoque. Ben would love this vehicle, designed to open your eyes to the possibilities of what's right in your own neighborhood, Ben. Visit your San Diego County Land Rover retailer for details on the new beautiful Range Rover Evoque, Land Rover above and beyond. Susan D with Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
Sounds appropriately bougie. I don't have to worry about traffic. We actually have special bougie lanes.
Bouge Higgins,
get us
everybody.
Oh, wow.
A secret. You don't know about them if you're not bougie.
Very
unbelievable.
All right, let's go out to our SDCCU fan hotline. Talk to someone who knows a thing or two about hitting home runs, which the Padres are doing at a franchise record pace this season. Joining us right now, a star from the 1998 World Series participants, Greg Vaughn, with us here on Ben and Woods. Vaughn, it is great to have you back on here on our new radio flagship home, 97.3 The Fan. How you doing, man?
Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, man. Just lost you there for a second. Vaughn, quick question right out of the chute. Would you have hit 75 homers that year if the baseballs were like they are right now?
Hey, you know what? I don't want to take anything away from, the players of today. I mean, they're bigger, they're stronger. The ballparks are different. That's a tough question. You know, everyone has their say of why we hit home runs, you know what I mean? Like, so it's hard to say. I don't want to take, away from what these guys are doing because, good players and they're good and, I guess good pitches to hit and they're not missing them.
Yeah, but clearly there's something going on because there's good pitchers, too. I mean, pitchers
really
are stronger and throwing harder than ever before. Maybe that's contributing to it. What do you see as just watching the game in terms of why those home run numbers are up? Where do you place most of the reason for it?
Well, for me, I just think it's a little weird when, everyone can have oppo power. You know what I mean? That's when you consider the guy when I played. If he was a power hitter, the way you hit the ball the other way. But now everyone has oppo power. You know what I mean? You get balls in off the hands, and they're going over the right field gate. So it's that's where obviously the difference is. Everyone is hitting opposite field home runs. I don't know, is that because the balls are round tighter, or is that because the bats are better, or is it because the ballparks are smaller? I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to take anything away from the players of today, but it would have been fun, playing with guys throwing, 100 miles an hour and, the ballparks being the size that they are now.
Let me ask you, Greg, because I'm curious about this. I actually talked about it, I think, last week. Sometimes a pitcher will complain that, these ballparks are so small, I'm giving up the cheapies. You still have to hit it well to get it out of the park. I mean, how many times do you feel like you got a hold of one in your career and it just died at the warning track on a cold night, on a big park? I mean, that happened, that happens pretty often to a major league hitter.
Well, it's ironic that you say that. I'm in Wisconsin right now, and we were talking about that county stadium, 392, both gaps, Lake Michigan killed many a balls, many a nights, So, the old Yankee Stadium. Like I said, it's the guys that are going oppo. Like I said, these guys are big, they're strong, and maybe, it's player development. But it's a lot of my balls, and I can attest. I just think the elements, the weather played a bigger issue. Where balls just, you hit them out there and they just died at the track. But now you see these balls in 13, 14, 15 rows deep. But like I said, I played in an era where we hit a lot, and now they're hitting more. So, I think that's just the evolution of the game. It's going to forever change. And I think it's in a good place unless you're a pitcher.
Yeah, seriously. We're talking to Greg Vaughn here on Ben and Woods this morning. Vaughn, I had a quick question for you about just managing in the big leagues. Managers, I don't know if you got a chance to see the game on Saturday. Fernando Tatis comes up, drops a bunt down, fouls out to give away an out in the ninth inning. And people were kind of upset at Andy Green for not telling him not to bunt. He didn't call, he didn't call for the bunt, but he didn't also tell him before he went up. How much managing... because the guys I talked to said, look, in the big leagues, you kind of are expected to know what the situation calls for. Sure, he's a rookie. You could pull him aside, let him know exactly what you want from him. But really, how much coaching and managing and development goes on when you're a big leaguer?
Well, I think it goes on before you're a big leaguer.
Right.
I was blessed and fortunate enough to play in an era where the coaches in the minor leagues and the managers, special assistants were a lot of former players. So they were our teachers, And now when I go into you know, some organizations, they have the people that just agree with them. You know what I mean? They don't want, you know, the former big leaguer telling them and getting these kids prepared how to play, you know. And some of it is, you know, by trial and error. You know, I remember, you know, in Tampa, Carl Crawford one time, you know, in the ninth inning, I think down by one, you know, he tried to bunt with, I think, a man on first or second. And that was part of his game, being speed. But Sweet Lou was like, hey, they hit a double. You know, so part of it comes with, you know, in the big leagues. But then I'm sure, you know, with the veterans around, and probably his father also, after the game, said, hey, that wasn't the spot to do it.
Yeah, after, you know, the, after the game. A lot of the lessons are learned at the big league level after something happens, right?
Yeah, yeah. I remember one time I came up and, you know, during my first 8 years here in Milwaukee, and I think it was a long inning or something happened, or I swung at a 2-0 or 3-1, 2-0 pitch or something like that. And I came back to the dugout and 11 out today. You know, we need to get on base because we're down by two or three, but we need you to work the count. But once again, he wasn't scolding me. He was, once again, teaching me how to play the game. I think we talked a lot more, you know, and you go to the locker rooms now, and you guys can attest to this, 10 minutes, 15 minutes after the game, the locker rooms are cleared out.
Yeah.
There's no talking. There's no going back over it. You know, it's just a place and time where we learned after the game. We learned before the game. There was a lot of communication. But there also, in the minor leagues, was a lot of experience in player development. I think, you know, I was just with Boach not too long ago. As a matter of fact, when they were in Milwaukee, they're one of the organizations that have done a good job of mixing old with the new. You know, they have a lot of experience in the minor league system, whether it's Vince Coleman, Randy Wendt. They have a lot of big leaguers helping out, you know, as this game sort of evolves to the computer. You know, because it's hard to have a computer, you know, because you don't feel good every single day. And a player has to recognize what type of player he is.
Right.
You know, if my job calls for me to move runners and get on base, that's what I need to do. But I need somebody that has been in that position to help teach me how to do it. You know, if I'm a big power guy, hey, I got to think about staying through the ball, thinking right center. So now I can keep those balls clear down the left field line. But all of a sudden now I get rushed to the big leagues. And, you know, I had nothing but a bunch of yes men in the minor leagues telling me, you know, whatever I wanted to hear, because I think that's where the game is hurting a little bit. You don't see the guys moving runners or a need to move runners.
Sure.
You know, everybody's trying to hit the 3-run home run. But in the same aspect as Tatis, you know, Junior, you know, laying down the bunt, that you got to tip your hat to the kid too, because he never left his head, you know, never put his head down.
Yep.
He's always figuring out a way how to score, take the extra base. You know, he's learned that.
100%.
He's learned that from his father and being in big league clubhouses. So there's something to say that there has to be a way to get former players in these systems, because you pay for all this money for nutrition, computers, you know, the OPS, and you come up with all this different language, but then you don't in player development because you have a bunch of guys that disagree with the farm director and the general manager, and your good organizations don't. They mix the old with the new.
Yeah, you have to have it right now. You can't go all in one way and forget about the other. We're talking to Greg Vaughn here, former Padre slugger here on Ben and Woods this morning. And one thing I will say, and I don't know how much Padre baseball you've had a chance to watch, but just a couple of things jump to mind. I do see guys like Manny Machado. I watched him get in Logan Allen's face the other day on the bench, and Logan sat there and listened to Manny Machado, you know, tell him what he needs to know. And I thought that was, you know, Manny gets a lot of grief, a lot of criticism, but that's a leader. That's a guy that walks up to him in the middle of the game and says, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. And Logan sat there and listened and nodded, just like guys did with you when you were coming up.
Hey, you know what? There was a place. When you're a rookie, I mean, you know, I'm sure Adam Jones, he did the same thing to Manny. You know what I mean? When Manny was in Baltimore. You have to have veterans along with that, and that is part of being a leader. And like I said, I know Manny, he's a great kid. I mean, he really is. You know, he has a bad rap because of some unfortunate situations that have happened, but he's a really, really good kid. And, you know, the Padre, San Diego's lucky to have him. The organization is ecstatic. and they're going in the right way. And, you know, but I think, you know, to answer your first question is, it all goes back to player development. You know, you spend all this money on all these other things. I think you have to have the right teachers in there, whether they're rovers, whether they're special assistants, whether they're, you know, a coach, you know, in the organization, to get these kids prepared to play. So when they do get up there, everything's not so confusing and fast. You know what I mean? It's a tough game and it's a hard game, but, you know, when you're prepared for it, it helps out. You know, you've been in those situations before that it, you know not to drop down a bunt in a ninth. No, not when you have 20 bombs and you can go, you know what I mean? It's, you can hit a double and you have power. It's, it's a learning experience, but I just think, you know, the good organization, and I'm not calling the Padres or any organization not a good organization. I'm just saying the ones that are consistently at the top of the list have good players, but they also have great player development. And you can look at small markets, but you look at the Twins. The Twins' player development always is ranked near the top. You know, it's there's a lot of small markets that do a really good job, but they also have a lot of ex-players in their system.
So, Greg, before you go, I've been saving this question. Padres, two big power-hitting corner outfielders, Hunter Renfro and Franmil Reyes, both having big seasons, but there's at least a thought that the Padres aren't going to be able to keep both of them. There's rumors that they've both been mentioned on the trade market. If you had to roll with just one of those two, and, you know, nothing against the other, which one do you see the bigger future for and the Padres should keep?
You put me on the spot here. I mean, what's the age difference? One is like 20.
Yeah, Franmil's a little younger. Franmil's about 23, and Hunter's like 27. And obviously, Franmil has more controllable years. But Hunter defensively brings a lot more to the table than Franmil does and may ever be able to in the outfield.
Yeah, and so do you want consistency and know what you're getting every single night with Hunter? Or do you want to go the other way with upside? It just depends on which way you want to go. You know what I mean? I think that is a determining factor on who you move. Or, you know what? You may say, I don't want to move either one of them. You know, I mean, both of them. But I tell you what, that kid in right field, he has some socket to me. I know. It don't matter what ballpark he's playing in. You know, the ball is electric off his bat. And, you know, I just think, you know, but with Hunter, you know what you're getting every single night. You know, he's a pro's pro. So it just depends on who you want to move and what you're looking for.
There's no wrong answer, but there's also no right answer to
keep
that
them
one.
Both.
So, yeah,
just keep them both.
That's a tough
fine
one.
With it.
Greg,
yeah, keep them both.
Greg, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'll chat with you again soon. Hopefully the Padres kind of get it turned around. Maybe that win yesterday will get them on a run. Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Vonnie.
Yeah, Greg Vaughn on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply today at SDCCU.com. So no game for the Padres today. They open a three-game series against the Mets tomorrow at City Field.
I hate when they don't play.
Could be problematic for at least some people in town, though, to watch the games.
Yeah.
I saw Don and Mud mentioning this over the weekend. They're making that hard push and trying to put the screws to, what is it, Dish and Sling TV?
Yeah.
That their operator agreement, whatever, to carry the channel ended on Sunday.
Yeah, they put out a tweet, said, you will lose the Padres, Clippers, and Ducks on Fox Sports San Diego. Paul says, I have Sling TV and won't get Padre games anymore as of Monday. See you later, Sling.
Ted and Jesse, you still always have the option, of course, here on 97.3 The Fan, but it is always a concern. You look to the north and the problems the Dodgers have had now for, what, 6-7 years? You know, like a majority of Los Angeles is unable to see Dodgers games.
It's so stupid.
Because they're not on DirecTV. They're not on Dish. They're just on whatever spectrum the cable system is up there. They've never been able to reach an agreement with some of those other carriers. So if you don't have that one cable system, I mean, great. I mean, it forces diehard Dodger fans, hey, you got to sign up for our cable system. We got a monopoly on the Dodgers. But, you know, it's not the right solution for everyone. You're in a bad spot in town, you need satellite for some reason, and all of a sudden you can't get your favorite team. It is an issue, I think, that every baseball team in Major League Baseball has to tread lightly on. Because you don't want to alienate fans. You don't want people all of a sudden calling the switchboard complaining.
Don't you want your game to be seen.
Sure.
That's what you want at the end of the day. You want your games to be seen. You want to be able to give people your product. And the fact that this is still an issue in 2019 is a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't expect Fox Sports San Diego to just give away, you know, the farm for free. If someone else wants to carry their, you know, their well-produced television broadcast, they got to be willing to pay for it. So
I get it. I mean, and we olds don't look so bad. I'm the only old that still has his cable. So you guys can figure it out. I'll be watching it tomorrow on Fox Sports San Diego.
I'll be
figuring it out too. And
yeah, I mean, you'll be like
compare the bills at the end of the month.
You'll be like streaming off some weird Russian website, and the game will be pausing every 3 seconds, and you'll be texting me for update. I'll be, oh, did you see Fran Mill? You're like, no, I didn't, because my thing is frozen because I'm a millennial and I won't pay for cable. Right?
No, it's because I'm a radio producer and I can't afford to pay for cable.
it's both, actually.
So, I mean, that's a legit thing that's going on right now.
It's fair enough, Paul.
Right now with
somebody said, Woodsy, just give Paul your login. I said, oh, no. You want to cut the cord, you're going to suffer. I'm not throwing my logins out to anybody.
Guys.
Suck it, is what I said.
YouTube TV is fantastic. It's $50 a month. You get like 7 logins. We'll just split that 3 ways.
I'm good. I have mine.
Come on.
I got all my movie channels. It's like 1987 in my house, all right?
I do have YouTube TV, but we use all of our logins because we got a lot of family members. And
yeah, how about the cheapies that always want your logins, too? Like, no, I'm not giving you my Netflix password. It's like $7. Comments,
people are like tweeting in, like, oh, just ask so-and-so. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that.
I hate that person.
What are the ethical rules for sharing passwords? I mean, if you want to watch, like, one HBO documentary.
Go sign up for HBO Now and then cancel your subscription.
You can't just borrow someone's
no,
for a night.
No, I hate that.
I just want to watch that one. It's okay. No, it's not okay.
I mean, it's just the guy that's all... There's people on my Facebook that are always like, hey, does anybody have a Showtime password? Hey, can anybody hook me up with their HBO? I'm like, stop. Stop begging.
See, the thing that bugs me is I have MLB Cheap TV. Ass. Like, I have the MLB package.
Yeah.
But I can't watch Padres because I'm in the market.
Of course.
So, especially with all this stuff that's going on this week with the Sling and the Dish Network, it's like...
So, what are you going to do, by the way?
I think... I don't know. We're still figuring it out. My girlfriend is... Megan is like, totally adamant that this will get solved. She's like, these things always get resolved.
Like, today? Not always. Look at LA.
I'm dying to know. Hammer, can you come in? I'm dying to know what... What this should be TV provider Hammer somehow uses. What millennial...
Yeah, let's all guess. I'm guessing he has his parents' login.
Yeah, parents' login for Netflix. No cable. No chance he has cable. You don't need those. You can hear us.
I need the headphones.
You don't need them.
I thought it was like make or break.
No, it's fine. How do you consume your media?
Oh, Paul had it right on the nail, man. I have everything on my parents. That's Netflix, Hulu. I use the Cox cable to watch.
Do you live alone?
Games. I live with my homies.
Okay, yeah. So you don't live with your parents?
No.
Okay, but you have all their logins.
Essentially, I do live with my parents with everything I use.
That's incredible.
See, I think Megan's going to give me her login or her mom. Somebody's login for their cable. All I need is I use the Fox Sports Go.
Do you do laundry at your house or their house?
So this is actually kind of bad.
Jeez. Your mom does your friggin' laundry.
I'll go to my mom's house every Tuesday and I just drop it off in the laundry room.
Oh my God.
And then I come back the next Tuesday and I pick it up and I drop off a new load. I don't know how
Can
to do
Can you give
my
us
laundry.
The address?
We're going to be
dropping off a few loads as well.
I mean, don't talk about... Never mind.
I heard that too.
His mom we're talking about.
Leave
Ben.
The mothers
Jesus.
Out of this.
Shock jock over here on a Monday.
All right, that's it for us. Oh, look, now the phones are ringing. Hammer leaves the phones, they start ringing. Absolutely. That's it. We're done for today. Coach John Quintero at noon, Gwynn and Chris, 3 o'clock. Jim Rome is up next. For Paul, for Hammer, for Woods, I'm Ben. Thanks for joining us today on Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.